Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Artists Helping Artists. We are the number one art show on Blog Talk Radio. And yes, we are back. We are live and everything's working.
Everything's working.
So
we're
sorry.
Fine.
Margaret's on the line. Hello, Margaret. How are you?
Good morning.
How long?
I'm happy to be back.
How long were you in Australia? 2 weeks?
I was in Australia for 2.5 weeks.
Wow.
And then there's that crazy thing where you lose a day and you gain a day.
Oh, I know. It's really confusing. I know. Matt's coming. Matt's been in Australia. He lives there now for 2 months and he's coming home next week. And I'm like, okay, I know you said what day you were leaving, but what day do you come home? Do you get home like 10 minutes after you leave?
Yeah,
pretty
kind
much.
Of. Yeah.
So. Well, here's what happened, just so everybody knows.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Margaret and I were on the phone. Was that the day you were leaving for Australia? The day after?
It was like the day before.
Yeah, or the
day
before.
Anyway, the last time we tried to have a show.
We were trying to have a show, and we had major technical difficulties. I couldn't basically, like, sign in. And I'm telling you, I have never been so frustrated in my life. It was bad. It was really bad.
There was a point in the middle of it where I remember thinking, okay, my job now is to say, it's not the end of the world. If it's not going to work, things happen. Meanwhile, we couldn't even fight our way out of that paper bag. So anyway, I'm glad to hear your voice today. All is well.
All is well. I'm totally going crazy. I was just telling Margaret. I mean, I say this like every time we talk. I was going to be smarter this year. What the heck is my problem? I am so... It's insane. Okay, so there's two really big things happening in my life right now. The first one is my son's getting married in 3 weeks. And
yep.
Because you don't even know this, Margaret, but because I'm completely insane for the rehearsal dinner, instead of doing fresh flowers, I decided to make 150 crepe paper flowers. Just because,
Lord.
And then I'm going to use fresh eucalyptus and just so it would be super special. But really, I mean, I could have just hired a florist and had it, but then it would have been just ordinary. So anyway, I've cut all the flowers.
Depends on the florist, but go on.
I know, that's
You've
true.
You've cut flowers.
I've cut 130 flowers because I have this amazing cutting machine and it's new and it cuts crepe paper and it did it for me and it's just incredible. I haven't made them yet, but that is the easy part. And so it's just, I still have to find a dress for the rehearsal dinner. It's just a lot of things that are causing me, like, this morning to wake up at 4:45 and like, oh, not that I can do anything at 4:45.
Yeah.
And then the house in Waco, we're doing a fixer-upper. If you don't know, Margaret, I know you know. And because I'm working with a lot of brands, which is amazing, because it truly is, as my friends say, the house that Instagram built. But the deadlines are hard when you have brands who want their products shown by a certain time and your house is behind schedule. And then you fly to Waco to do a room and the product doesn't arrive because it's been recalled by the brand, so you have to fly home and fly back the next week. I mean, really?
Oh, Lord.
So it's just been a little bit insane. So, I'm sorry.
But what I was going to say is, you know, things, it's almost like it's in the air. Everyone I talk to is either nearing that point of kind of feeling overloaded. Or
I'm so far past that. But go ahead.
Yeah, I was gonna say, or they're past it, and usually when they're past it, there comes this piece. You know, it's even if an artist is getting ready for a show, you know, a week before, they're going out of their mind. But once it's packed up and sent, right, then it's out of your hands. So I think you just need to look forward to that point where you can say, "Out of my hands." And after that, personally, I believe in taking that red pen and crossing unnecessary things off your life list.
Do you know what we call that? We call that, my girlfriend and I call that shedding.
Shedding.
It's when you start shedding things that you just can't get done.
I Yeah, and then you realize it wasn't as crazy important as you thought it was. And, you know, it's funny. I've been talking to a lot of people lately who, I mean, you're sort of, I don't know, I don't think you're there yet. Maybe it's because this was a group of women sort of between the ages of maybe 55 and 70. And everyone was sort of drumming their fingers saying, I've just come to the realization that there's only so much time left. And, you know, everyone's sort of going, it's almost like it hyper-focuses you to shed, as you would say, you know, kind of figure out what it is you want to be doing. So this summer, I think, should be the summer of want, not need, to get done. And wouldn't that be like just, especially you're going to be done with the wedding, there is this collapse that happens post-wedding.
Oh, sure.
Get into it and enjoy it.
Yeah.
Enjoy it.
I mean, I am enjoying it. I have the best job in the entire world. But man, oh, man, oh, man, I've got to, like, get my act together and relax more. So anyway, I think when the wedding's over and then when the house gets done in Waco and I can't wait to go there and be able to stay there for a couple weeks and just get everything done and decorate and do all that. That'll be like I'll be in heaven. But, you know.
I keep watching your photographs. I'm going to tell you, I'm dying to see what you do under the porch where the underside of the structure meets the ground. I'm watching saying, oh, please don't do X. I hope she does Y. And I'm just going to
see
you
what might
want
to
do.
Send me a text or two. I'd love to get your input. I think I know what I'm doing already.
But yeah, go with whatever you've decided. I'm watching with great, you know, curiosity and, you know, it's going to be gorgeous when it's done. So that's
going to be
reward.
A fun project. Yeah.
Sure.
And I'm not in a hurry anymore, except for the brands that have deadlines, and they all have deadlines in the next, like, 60 days. So, but anyway, well, we do have a great show, even though we had this 3 weeks ago.
We do.
But it's all about rethinking your brand. And, Margaret, I don't know if you've thought at all about what your brand is. Oh, by the way, I still have all the abstract paintings I have to paint for the Waco house too. So yeah, it's a little crazy. but I
maybe
think
you should have a competition
amongst myself.
Well,
like
no,
that.
I was thinking maybe it's time to let go, get some help, but go ahead.
But I mean, if people don't know what a brand is, I mean, the technical definition is like the name, term, sign, symbol, design, or a combination of those things that identifies what you do to a group of people who perhaps want to buy from you. And it's what differentiates you from the artist sitting right next to you. And
right.
The thing about a brand that's kind of tricky is it's all about perception. So even though as an artist you say, well, my brand is the fact that I am a plein air painter and I paint this kind of thing, just because you want it to be your brand, it may not be what your brand is, because your brand is how people perceive you. And it's the way your collectors and supporters talk about you and how they describe you. And it's for your collectors and publishers and galleries, your brand is how they get to know, like, and trust you. So don't think, well, my brand is this, so I'm done with this. Because if that's what you think in your mind, but it's not how you're being perceived, then it's not right. So it's a little trickier than just saying, oh, my brand is this. Do you know what you want your brand to be, Margaret? Have you thought about that?
Well, I think about it a lot. There's, you and I didn't get a chance to talk about this piece of it, but there's something in architecture when you're doing a design. It's called your parti. It's a French term, P-A-R-T-I-S.
And P-A-R-T-I-S?
P-A-R-T-I-S. I think it's P-A-R-T-I-S. It's, listen, it could be P-A-R-T-E-E. I don't really know.
Right, okay.
I've only spoken. But your parti is it's your organizing element. And once you establish it, so for instance, I'm going to give you an example that is, it will relate to architectural design, but you'll see how it plays into anything really. If you decide you're building a church, you know, a church is often done in a cross shape, and you have the main aisle and you have the apse that goes across, right? And once you sort of start with this as your party, it becomes the thing that organizes your thoughts, but also it helps you make all of the subsequent decisions because you can always go back to that foundation in terms of the strongest design element. And I think the same can be said of your brand. Once you decide who you are, and there's a difference between who you are and who you want to be, I should
of course.
Say. right? But
yeah.
Once you make sort of, you know, you feel strong and confident in that, this is that you are a plein air landscape painter, it's a lot easier to figure out what your logo should look like. You know, it's like every decision, you can go back to that as your organizing thought, and it helps you, I think, represent yourself in sort of a cohesive way. So, you know, I do think about it. I think one of the tricky things, and we'll talk about this as the show goes on, is people are really conflicted sometimes because they may be a plein air landscape painter, but they have this real urge to do, I don't know, abstract or still lives or whatever, and they feel like it's counter, right, to their branding, to like the who they are. And sometimes that's not always appreciated by the public. It's, I think that is at the crux of every artist's struggle. But my two cents is, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
Sure. No,
of course.
You
feel like painting, you know, you said you got some flack when that happened. So yeah, I do think about it, and I try to be consistent to where I am now. But I fully believe that that changes over the course of your life as an artist or a designer or an architect, because you change. So, you know, there's a lot of growth that can happen in there, and I think you have to be confident that it's okay to change. But boy, in the moment, it's a really strong tool if you can be consistent. So,
I completely agree.
You know, yeah.
Yeah.
So here's a good example. People may buy like a single piece of your art just because they like it. You know, it sort of speaks to them, whatever. And
right.
Sometimes you, if you teach, artists will sign up for the workshop because they'll, as I always do, they'll look at, you know, an artist's work and they decide they like it, they like the style, they think there's something they can learn from that artist. But it's your branding, and it's sort of that definition of who you are that really determines whether or not those people are repeat customers or whether or not if they're taking your workshop, they're going to recommend you to others. I mean, they want to know, well, I'll go back to the same example. If you're a plein air landscape painter, they want to know that if they recommend you to their friends who they think would really enjoy taking a workshop from you that you're going to be teaching plein air landscape painting. You know, you kind of have to have some consistency in there. And the other thing is that people really, we know this over and over, they like to buy and do business with individuals they know because they kind of feel like they like you, they like your work, and there's an issue of like trust there. So, you know, if you sort of think about this, I think the important thing is that your brand, which I'm using in air quotes here, it goes way beyond just the art you produce, right? This is all about how you present your work and yourself, whether you're doing that in person or if it's in some of your, you know, marketing materials and social media, how you reach out. It's about, you know, the tone you use when you follow up with people, when you respond to comments. Believe it or not, I truly think it's reflected in how you sort of behave and how you act, how you market your stuff. And then the other thing is, of course, it's all about the work you produce, your style, your materials, the subject
right.
matter. All of that kind of comes together. It's really complicated, but I'm going to go back to my original statement about a party. If you decide at least who you are now and what your art is right now or in this period of your life, it becomes much easier to have all of that work together as a whole because, you know, you've taken the conflict out of it. You've made the decision. I think, you know, the brand also speaks a little bit to who you're
know, sort of perfect collector is. How you're going to position your artwork in the world. You know, positioning sort of refers to the direction that you want your art and your business to take you. I mean, there's a lot to consider about how you want your art perceived, whether or not you want to be thought of as a really high-end kind of luxury product, or if you're maybe producing work that's much more affordable and you're thinking of it as, you know, everyone deserves to have art they love and you make it something that, you know, every man off the street can afford. You kind of, you make a decision there, and believe me, I'm not saying you can't change it, but I'm saying consistency goes a long way in terms of making your work the piece that someone decides to invest in.
Sure. No, that is so true. And the problem with a brand is a lot of people only think, well, my brand is the fact that I paint watercolors and I always paint flowers. But branding includes your values, what you stand for, how you communicate, the experience that your collectors and your workshop students have with you, and so much more. I mean, it's like your business persona, and it's the consistent image. And it's a little scary because if you're listening to this, you're thinking, oh, my God, I have to worry about this every time I open my mouth or every time I post on Instagram. What? But it's kind of important to realize that everything you do is creating a brand. So what you really need to do is have that in the back of your mind and make decisions about what you do based on what you want your brand to be, because you want it to be authentic and you want to be likable, you want to be trustworthy. And so, you know, if you're really mad at what our president's doing and you decide on Instagram or Facebook to say something about that, that becomes part of your brand. Do you really want that to be part of your brand? So you have to be careful, and you kind of have to be thinking about it. And most of this should just come naturally. I'm not saying that you have to sit back and totally rethink and calculate everything you're doing, because that's not the point. But it's your brand is really one of the most important things in your art business, and it does have a huge impact on your success and your direction. And it's hard because you can't completely control it, but I think if you're smart about it, you can control most of it. And we're not all famous enough that we have to worry about bad pictures of us appearing. I mean, all that stuff is completely out of our realm, thank goodness. But it's just more important to understand what it is, because if you don't know what your brand is, you have no chance of anybody else knowing what your brand is. Now, it can kind of happen, and then you can be like, oh, that's a good, okay, that's good, I like that. But you're going to be a lot more successful if you know what it is. I think the biggest concern you should have is that you haven't defined what your brand is because you like to do too many things. And that gets confusing. Yeah. And you can do a whole bunch of things. That's completely your choice. But the way you present yourself, you might want to narrow it down, or else you're going to have a really hard time finding your buyer, because your potential collectors are going to look at what you're doing and see so many different things that they're never going to quite understand what you're about.
Yeah. It's a tricky one. But it's almost like if you're not intentional and really authentic about it, right, then somebody else is going to define you. And maybe they'll decide you're something you don't want to be. So,
if I can just add, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but in the art world, there are so many artists out there that you don't want to just blend in. You want to stand out. And the way you're going to stand out is by what your brand is. So as an artist, you have to make a difficult decision and decide what that's going to be. And it's not going to, you know, it changes, it evolves, it grows, you hope. My gosh, you don't want to have a brand that you picked 20 years ago and have it be the same thing. But you need to be able to stand out. And I really do believe that a lot of artists struggle because they just kind of do what everyone else does. And there's nothing unique about them. Every artist has something unique about them. They just have to put that into their brand. And as you said, it has to be intentional. And you have to decide, you know what, this is what I really like to do, and this is what I want to be known as, so I'm going to focus on this. So, sorry.
Mm-hmm. No, it's true. I'm thinking of so many artists who I feel like I could describe, you know, like Dreamatol Perry popped right into my mind. Because, you know, you could say, well, what is your brand? It's this incredible positive energy, colorful, joyful painting. I mean, it is, right? It just says who she is. And you can go on and on. I mean, we talked to Colin Page recently. You know, you can nail that right away with sort of the subject matter, the color. And they are very much reflective of those artists. And I think that, you know, that authenticity really speaks to especially the audience of non-artist buyers, because that's sort of the first thing they're going to hang their hat on.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
No, you're totally right.
It's really interesting. If you think about brands, I mean, what is a brand? You know, way back when, a brand started out as a way to mark cattle, right? We've all seen, you know, the Wild
the branding
West movies,
iron.
The hot iron. And, I mean, they still do it. They brand. And it, that way, you know, the ranchers could keep track of the herd. And if one wandered off, they'd know where it belongs, all of that.
Yeah.
And, you know, the economy grew and things became, I don't know, more sort of industrialized. And certainly there was a greater range of products, we'll call the beef products, available to consumers, but the concept of brand was still applied to all sorts of things in terms of, in the form of like logos, designs, trademarks, which I think, again, it differentiates whatever it is that you're looking to purchase in a marketplace. And I think, you know, it's so easy to get focused on sort of the very small, immediate branding that we're talking about, but brands can be local or regional. I think a lot of times, you know, they can be national, worldwide, certainly. Brands are just everywhere. And, you know, I have to tell you that the biggest landmark, I mean, obviously, when you're in Sydney, Australia, everyone knows the beautiful Sydney Opera House.
Right.
I bow down to in terms of design. It was fabulous. Everyone knows the bridge. I mean, that's sort of the image of that city. Every city has something like that. In my daughter's neighborhood, the landmark was the Coke sign. There was a Coke sign. And I'll tell you, I knew where I was every time I would turn a corner and I could see that Coke sign.
Oh,
I think
that's
Coca-Cola,
awesome.
Pepsi. Yeah, Nike. Mm-hmm. Think about the car brands we know.
Yeah.
Ford, Mercedes. Yeah. You know, Martha Stewart is a brand. Oprah is a brand. It just goes on and on. And as soon as you say those names, there's an image and there's like an experience and an expectation that you kind of associate with it. And, you know, that's the mark of, I think, a really successful brand, whether it's a product, a corporation, or an individual artist. It's that when you say that name, an image comes into your mind and you kind of know what it is, at least right now, that that person or thing is about. So,
yep. You're so right. So what Margaret and I want to do today is we want to help you kind of think about this whole process and help you narrow down what your brand is, because I'm not going to guarantee it, but I think a lot of people listening to this show have no clue what their brand is.
Yeah.
So first we're going to share a list of almost 20 items, and these are kind of all the things that make up your brand. And it's kind of important to know what those determining factors are so you don't forget about them, but it's obviously the products and services you provide. It's your artwork. It's the anything else that you do. It's the lessons that you teach. Anything that's associated with your art business. It's also all of your marketing materials. Now, some of you have no marketing materials, which is okay, but it could even just be your business card. It's what your website looks like. It's what you share on social media. It's anything you do online. And nowadays, that's probably, for many artists listening, 90% of what they do for marketing. And so, and it all has to go together. It has to be cohesive. It's what your mission is for your art business. So it's your vision. where you want to go in the future. That's a huge part of your brand. And whether it's directed or not, you just need to be aware of that. It's your level of expertise and professionalism. Is your brand someone who is a new and inspiring and up-and-coming artist? Are you a veteran who's been around for a while and is an amazing teacher? Are you someone? Is your brand someone who's just starting out teaching? All of those are great. You don't all have to think your brand has to be that you're a veteran, because we're not all veterans. I mean, it's just,
right.
We haven't been painting for 50 years or whatever. So it's just important to understand all these things that make up your brand. So, Margaret, I'll let you finish this slightly long list.
Well, it's a good list. I certainly agree about the products and services. I think that's a given. But
right.
Then I'm going to move on and say your creative style, you know, the genre that you paint in, the quality, the selection you offer, all of that plays into it. I think your customers, because you can define, at least today, who it is who's looking to collect your art. And if you think about it, you can think about how it is that they might be. How would they describe you? Your brand is reflected in, you know, sort of your facilities, where you work. You know, what is your studio like? Are you home studio, you know, a co-op studio? What is it that you've got going on? Or maybe it's, you know, a workshop that sort of is the face of, you know, Leslie Feda Art. I think how and where your products are distributed and sold. Now, I want to say something about this because, boy, I don't even think it's a pendulum that swings. This is sort of like, you know, a knockout round, because artists have to decide, are they going to sell online? Do they want to be in galleries? Are they no longer interested in galleries, but they want to participate? Maybe you're in a co-op studio building and you're going to do open studios and sell that way. Whatever it is, how you do that is part of sort of, if you, your brand is how someone would describe you, that is a huge part of it. And I think one of the hardest decisions to make, because you really kind of have to choose it and commit, at least for some period of time, to selling your art one way or another. I think you've got to look at your art business in relation to all of your competition. You know, would someone say, oh, you know, she's a plein-air landscape painter, but she is just more expensive than anyone else? I mean, I don't know. You have to decide if you're comfortable sitting there, and if you're not, you can change it. Your customer service. People overlook this when they are operating a life and a business as an artist, but it says a lot about who you are in terms of how you respond to inquiries, whether they're coming in person or on your website or on Facebook, whatever. Think about, what's your return policy? What is your pricing strategy? All of that needs to align with that decision you made about what your brand as a business or as an art business was going to be. Even the payment terms and the types of payments you accept. You know, if you're sort of willing to sort of stay real down low and local, maybe you only accept cash and checks. But most artists I know have that little square reader that they pop into their phones. These are decisions. How techie do you want to be? I think, you know, you decide your level of community involvement, environmental sensitivity. I mean, there's a lot of artists now who are putting themselves out there, particularly sculptors, as being very green, recycling materials. I mean, that says a lot about what you're creating. How you create your art. How well do you manage your business, your sort of your little personal art business? And trust me, if it's not clients and it's gallery owners, they care how you conduct yourself.
Sure.
Your business's reputation, right, is the most important thing. Hands down, I think, and that your business reputation is reflected in how you deal with customers, prospective buyers, if you're lucky enough to have employees, how do you respond to anybody that's selling you good, you know, suppliers, the press. I know a lot of artists do their own press releases for shows and things. And also, like, just the general public, how do you interact with your fellow artists? I think all of this is part of, again, who you've made the decision you want to be, and now you just need to do the hard work and be consistent and do it, because you're basically making a promise of value to your customers, and I think you need to be ready to stand behind that. And, you know, if you've made these decisions up front and you're confronted with a situation, just think about who it is that you are. What does your brand say? And then you'll know how to deal with the sticky situations that inevitably arise and always.
I mean, the list is a little intimidating, but my approach would be, okay, we just heard all these things that kind of set your brand. Which of these things can I do differently from other artists that will set me apart? And if you think about it, there's a lot of them. There really are.
Yeah.
I mean, you can be the artist who has a 100% refund guarantee, no questions asked.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can be the artist who, I mean, you can just be different. And you can be the artist who is, send me a picture of your room and I'll send you back what my painting looks like on your wall. I'll do it in Photoshop. I mean, there's so many little things like that that you can do that go kind of above and beyond what all the other artists are doing, and yet they
mm-hmm.
are amazing and make you different. You can be the artist who on social media answers every single comment. You can be the artist on social media who paints at her kitchen every day for 10,000 days in a row. We know who
mm-hmm.
that is.
True.
Lisa.
I do. Lisa.
Yeah. So, I mean, there can be something unique, or you can be the artist who's just like everyone else. So the whole reason for this show today is to kind of give everyone a little kick in the you-know-what to say, hey, maybe you need to think about fine-tuning your brand so you can stand out and be a little different. And a lot of times it's just focusing on what you like to do the most. And even though you're going to be an artist that does a lot of different mediums and a lot of different things, your brand is going to be known for perhaps a narrowed down, topic. Because truly, your brand is everything your art business does. And everybody you touch, either directly or indirectly. And it's what other people are saying about you. And one thing that's kind of interesting to do is ask some of your art friends, hey, how would you describe my art business? You're going to learn so much. And these are people that know you well.
Yeah.
Because they may say things and you'll be like, what? That's how I'm being perceived. Not that it's bad. It's just not what you expected. And so you need to kind of think about that. So your brand, you need to grab onto something because it's going to help guide you through kind of your planning and your marketing of your art business. And it should be your basis of what you do every single day. And not like for the rest of your life, I promise. But it's kind of important to kind of go through this process we're going to talk about to help you define what it is. Because a lot of people,
I agree.
What's so frustrating for me is there are so many talented artists out there and their art's just not being seen. And so we want to help you today figure out, okay, how can you stand out? What can you do that's going to catch somebody's eye, whether it's a collector, an owner of a gallery, a magazine, another artist that wants to help you? I mean, who knows? But you have to be smart about it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, I'm just thinking of all the artists I know who say, I can't believe so-and-so is selling so much. I work just as hard as she does. And I think it's more than just hard work, and it's more than just painting. So I think here's what I think. I think you need to ask yourself some questions. And, I'm a big believer in writing down the answers, because sometimes when you put pen to paper, you see it differently.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing is, what is it you want to be known for? What do you want your sort of brand to be? And if you can sort of work on those, I think you may be surprised, because that kind of introspection sometimes leads you to answers that you didn't fully realize before. I think you need to ask, what is it that makes you and, you know, maybe your art business sort of the right solution for somebody, the right paintings? Why should they, if you work just as hard as the artist next to you, what is it that would make your product the right one for them? I think if you don't define and kind of nurture maybe your brand, and, you know, the other word I want to use here over and over is your signature. It's kind of your, what is your signature? What is it that is unique to you? If you don't identify that, somebody else may do it for you, and they're probably going to get it wrong. So
right.
I think it's really worthwhile for every artist to kind of take charge and take this kind of an exercise seriously. I think building yourself as an artist sort of means, you know, you have to find your identity, and you can base that on maybe it's your artistic style, maybe it's the subjects that you paint, the themes, the color palette you use, you know,
mm-hmm.
God only knows what the influences are. But the idea is, if you're going to brand yourself, you want to tell your story, and you want your artwork, you know, to be so consistent that, you know, I could look at it and say, oh, I bet that's something Leslie Sada did. I bet that's a Sada piece. We can do it. You know, this is through the ages, art has been identifiable. You know, a particular person's style or brand or what it is that they produce. I think the following imparts wisdom that you're going to need to make the leap. You want to be an artist whose work is sort of admired and collected. And, you know, at the end of the day, no one chooses to be a starving artist. We'd all like to see our bank account grow. And honestly, I have to say that I think that's been one of the things that people downplay. And I think there is nothing wrong with hoping and attaining financial success if you're going to spend your life painting.
So. Oh, I totally agree. So I think as you're defining your brand, something I think you should think about is you want to be recognizable from across the room. So you want someone to be scanning through Instagram and stop and go, oh, look, there's one of Margaret. That's Margaret, without seeing your name.
Yeah.
And so that obviously kind of focuses on the point I made earlier and the fact that you have to be consistent. You absolutely have to be consistent, because if you're not, you're never going to become recognizable. And don't get too caught up in the fact that, oh, it's going to pigeonhole me, because your brand has to morph and grow as you grow. But if you don't have anywhere to start with in a brand, then it's too confusing. So be thinking about kind of that one part of your art that you want to focus on. Start with that and build your brand on that. And then as time goes by, you can evolve your brand or create kind of a sub-brand for another style. Just remember that the more styles you have, the more marketing you have to have for each one, and it's going to get a little bit crazy. So decide what your core competency is. Do you know what yours is, Margaret? I'm just curious what your core competency would be in your art that you think you'd want to focus on.
Ooh,
I mean to put you on
that's a hard one.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's interesting that you ask that, because just maybe this last weekend I was thinking, you know, you hear about seasonal affective disorder. I think I'm a seasonally affected artist, because, you know, it's finally beautiful here. So right now I would say my core competency would be these. I really love painting, you know, plein air. So these small landscape studies that I'm trying to take bigger. I mean, I think that's what most people think of. I'm kind of a colorist, and that's the way they'd go. But then there's this piece of me that's been doing all this iPad art since I got banged up by
a car. Well, now you want to do a painting from your iPad art. I just saw that.
Exactly. And that's where that morphing is coming from. You know, just as an aside, I got to Sydney and I started looking at all this fabulous Aboriginal art in the museums and in the galleries.
And I was looking at it, and when I came home, I opened up my iPad, and I said to my husband, look at these. I had never seen Aboriginal art, but what do some of my iPad drawings remind you of?
Aboriginal art.
They're like,
yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think I'm going to call myself, I guess I'm willing to be like, to have sort of a split personality here. And I've got the one thing that I feel like I'm recognized for, and the other thing that I'm going to give into because I'm honestly enjoying it. And I don't see any reason why, as an artist, you can't do more than one thing.
You can, but what you need to do is you need to define your core competency. You have to take some time, sit down, and think, what is the single best thing you do? Because often people already know what that is, and you maybe haven't realized it, but that ideally needs to be what you start to focus with on your brand. And then in a couple months, think you can do that sub-branding thing. But think about what
yeah.
the single best thing is that you do. And that's probably what your brand should be, if that makes any
sense. Yeah, I think. And then we're back outside. We're in the elements. But that's for me. And who knows? Again, once it gets cold, I'm going right back in my studio.
But you can be a
there
studio
you go.
Painter. You don't have to be a plein air painter. I mean, you know, you can be the studio painter who paints like a plein air painter. I mean, whatever. Whoever decided
yeah.
that you had to paint plein air to make it real, I think is crazy. But I'm going to get lots of comments about that.
This is an aside, but I'm going to say, as someone who spent years working in an office, I crave being outdoors.
No,
so
I think it's great, but I don't think it's a
very physical thing.
I don't think it's an only. I think it's an and. I don't think you only can paint outdoors to get good paintings. You know what I mean?
I had a boss that used to say it isn't either or, it's plus and.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
both and. So there you go.
Oh, absolutely.
All right. Well, now that we've done my therapy.
Well, I think this is going to help people listening because they're probably thinking, what am I going to do? How do I figure this out? And it's like, what's the best thing that you do? Which probably is what you enjoy to do, too, if I had to guess.
Yeah. Well, and I'll throw the monkey wrench in there. If you know it's a good painting and you put it up on the wall, whether it's a gallery or, it's juried into a show or you're putting it up on your own open house, if other people respond to it, that is one of the best feelings in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they actually, hand over their credit card, it's even better. So
right.
I do think that there is, right, it reflects back that good, it's like anything, the painting that you really, when you pull a great painting. You know what I mean? You know how people have said to us, it's the magic brush. As soon as
yeah.
you start, you kind of go, ooh, I think this is going in a good direction. Man, I just live to have that feeling often.
Mm-hmm.
And
no, I totally agree.
And that's what you want.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to go back to brands now. Because now you've got me reflecting on this. Great. Ask yourself if your brand is coherent. Yeah, as someone who is not coherent, it's funny that I would get to talk about this. But it is really important. And I think when you do this defining, you need to sort of, it sounds so self-conscious and so sort of, inner-directed. But if you can make this decision about what your brand is going to be and you can look at it objectively, if it's going to be effective, it's going to be coherent and it's going
right.
to be successful. All the marketing in the world won't help if you don't have some sort of strategy behind it.
Sure.
Because, honestly, you can be doing a great job putting up fabulous posts on Instagram, connect to your website, whatever. But if someone gets there and it's a complete hodgepodge, they're not
mm-hmm.
going to know who you are. That does not inspire confidence. I think you need to really consider things carefully. And it sounds counterintuitive to the mind of an artist, but I think it's a very purposeful design that has to come into play. And it can be simple. You know, art is so competitive. People who love art and buy art, they have a sense of what it is they want.
And there are a lot of artists out there that are willing to give it to them. I think
right.
what you want to do to stand out is that your art business, it needs to be something that is as subjective, you know, your marketing plan can sort of put it in front of them. It needs to sort of follow sort of a whole repetition in terms of enforcing a brand recognition. You know, let someone know that if they go to your website, they're going to see a body of work that has a consistency like they came looking for. Let's go back to it. Maybe they came looking for landscape paintings because that's what you've sort of set yourself forth as. You better have a decent body of work there. You know, you don't want someone coming looking for landscapes and finding a bunch of, you know, I don't know, drawings of charcoal drawings of eggs. It's just not going to work. I think, you know, we see this because let's face it, it's a commitment. You're going to commit to the outward image. And there's so many ways that you can sort of put that out in the public. You know, you can market, you can sort of brand it, you can sort of be as consistent as you think you need to be, but there's like this constant reinforcement of your effort and hopefully the return that will come from all of that hard work. You need to test and select a few of the more successful things that are going to work for you. And
oh, of course.
Honestly, this is such an individual choice. The thing I think I want to stress is that if you try one method of marketing your brand and you're not getting good feedback, but you feel like you've been consistent, you feel like you've put a body of work together, switch, try something else. There's a lot of different ways of presenting it. Don't necessarily think it's your work. It just might be that you didn't choose an avenue that's going to bring the best result for you. So, being mindful of this, you know, and I know a lot of people will roll their eyes like, I don't have time for that. But you have to figure out what your end goal is. And, you know, we've already talked about how good it feels to get paid for your art, to be collected, but it doesn't come easy. So.
Yeah. No, you're so right. It's so right, but it's not impossible, and it's a process. And I think you'd be amazed when you start to focus how well it works. And once you've kind of gone through that soul searching, perhaps what it is, of defining, okay, this is what I'm best at and this is what I want my brand to be, you can think about kind of solidifying that through some kind of a logo or something. And I did that early on with the little palette knife logo that I had done.
Yeah.
And I love that. And it's everywhere. It's on my business cards. It's on my aprons. It's everywhere. And it's just such a great kind of way to brand what my brand is, if that makes any sense. And I know most artists will just use a painting, which is fine. But as you paint another painting you like better, you're going to change that. And then 2 weeks later, you're going to change it again. And so you don't have brand identity because it's changing so frequently that people don't see your little logo, which is a painting, and think, oh, I know, that's Margaret, because you've changed it 5 times since they last saw you. So it's just something to think about that you can do. You don't have to do it right away, but it's just you can go on Photoshop or you can go on the 8,000 different programs that are out there that enable you to create your own logo. We are artists.
Yeah.
We're pretty good at that. So it's not something I think you should spend money on. None of what we're talking about really is going to cost you anything. It's just more soul searching to sit down and identify what you're best at, except for the thing Margaret's going to talk about maybe is some marketing materials, but the rest of it's all free.
Well, I have to say, this year I haven't invested any money in marketing materials in a long time because I did come up, with a logo and I did have cards printed and I have enough of them and maybe I'm stingy about giving them out, but I'm in pretty good shape with most of my marketing materials. But this year I invested in Vistaprint, one of those little vinyl signs, because I realized when I
participate in open studios and things. I wanted a more professional look to sort of, you know, my little corner of the studio. And so, yes, I did. I invested in that. And it made me wonder, and I'd be curious to hear what you say about this, Leslie, how often do you need to update that? Like, what would be a cycle? You know, we know with websites, thank God, no one's doing white font on a black background anymore. now it, you know, that was passé, and it got updated, and a lot of people now have very clean, I think very attractive looking websites when I look at them. But things like business cards and brochures, I mean, these are, if you're going to take a look at your marketing materials, that's the place to start, and it can all build from there. I don't know how, I have not updated mine in, I don't know, 7 years, and I'm still happy with it, but I'm sure there will come a time. For anyone out there, I think there's a thrill when you get your first business cards. I always think it's because you finally have the guts to call yourself an artist. I love seeing artists' business cards. And this is business cards, brochures. These are two of the least expensive ways for anyone to market their business name and their brand. These are, you know, everyone looks for them. People love to slip them into their wallet. You know, these are easy to distribute. Every artist I know keeps a little pile of them, like, on their desk or at the front of their studio, sometimes on a studio door. If you do nothing else, come up with your brand on a business card and take it with you wherever you go, because I'm telling you, there is a real value in distributing those. I've gotten calls from people, and I can't even imagine how they found me, except they picked up my business card maybe 2 years before.
Yeah.
And then they called with a follow-up question. So business cards and brochures, invaluable. Printed marketing materials. Now, this is
Can I say one thing about business cards? Is that okay?
Sure.
Considered using the printables by Moo. And what that is you order 50 business cards, and there's a different photo on the back of each one. And you do that. I did that with my art. And so when someone said, oh, do you have a business card? I'd hand them a whole stack and say, yeah, pick out your favorite painting, and you can take that one. And so what would happen is every time someone asked me for a business card, they would be looking at my art and a lot of different paintings.
Oh.
And it's just, it's such a cool way to have a little extra marketing thing. And then it becomes a conversation. And then it's like, oh, is this one still available? I mean, it's amazing. But
sure.
The little thing I did that is pretty cool.
Again, that company is Moo, M-O-O, just like the cow says. And I have to say, I love working with that company.
Oh, it they're so much fun.
Like
talk about
right?
their
it's
brand.
The happiest day.
Talk about their brand.
You get a package from your business cards arrive, and there's a sticker on the outside that says, yay. How do you not
And the whole
love
process
that?
Of ordering is, like, fun. It's, like, the super fun. And that is their brand.
Yep.
And that they have done
yep.
that so
they
successfully.
Have...
Just a point I wanted to make.
Oh, it is a beautiful company. I agree. All right. Let's talk a little about printed marketing materials, because marketing your brand can take the form of placing, like, repeated regular ads in newspapers or magazines, but word to the wise, this can become really expensive, and a lot of it depends upon the publication and how frequently it's published and how frequently you want to appear in it. A press release allows you to feature your business for free, and smaller local newspapers, a lot of times they will pick up a press release really easily because, let's face it, they're looking to put content in their little weekly papers. I know in my town, if you have a photo that goes along with it, it'll almost always be put in the paper for free. They like photos and they like captions, and you do the work, drop it off, and they're happy to put it in. Not so much with major newspapers, I think. There's newspapers are having a hard run of it, but there's no harm, no foul. A press release can usually be submitted online to a lot of papers, and you just never know when you're going to
get some play. So you can try that. Another thing to do in this age of enlightenment is e-blasts and newsletters. So as long as you've developed a mailing list of your customers, and now I'm going to say, and everyone should always be working on their mailing list. It is an invaluable source of customers that you own and you control. If you've developed a mailing list, you can take advantage of bulk email services. And a lot of those you can just look online, literally type in bulk email services. If you could send out regular e-blasts, you know, a little blast of news, it's going to keep your followers abreast of maybe an upcoming sale or a show that you're in or an event that you're going to be attending. And you can always provide information about featured artists if you run out of things to say about yourself. So use what is free and at your fingertips.
Yeah. So true. Okay, we have a couple more comments that we're going to mention, and one of them is packaging. There's something about thinking about the whole experience of receiving a piece of art. It's not just, you know, having the painting. It's about once you open that box and you're like, wow. It's like what Moo does. You open the box and the packaging,
yep.
Or what Apple does when they package everything.
Yep.
It's unbelievable. Packaging has kind of, you know, in the past been just a way to protect a product, but really it can be art. And so there's a couple things that you can do. I mean, does your packaging live up to your art? Don't make your art feel cheap by using packaging. So I like to reuse the boxes if I can. And so I actually started printing up a note about that fact. So when you opened it up, it talks about, hey, I'm trying to help the environment, and try to reuse this box too if you can. It just kind of creates that kind of cool thing about, you know, and so try to have it stand out from the crowd. I mean, don't put a big sticker on the front that says this is valuable artwork because it may disappear. But what if you have the box that's partially painted, you know, with some acrylics? I mean, who knows? You can do something that makes your box stand out and it makes it fun. But it all depends on what your brand is. So, you know, if your brand is a clean, minimalist look and you paint abstracts that have that same brand, then your box should look the same. So keep it simple. Don't over-package it. But I'm sorry about my dog, driving me crazy. But packaging is just kind of a really fun way to also include little extra things, little surprises in a box that are inexpensive, but ways that for you to share your brand. I, you know, typically have note cards from my paintings, and if it's a painting I've had around for maybe longer than a month, there's a good chance I'd have note cards, so I would include that as a gift. And people love that. It makes a huge, huge difference. So just think about when you talk about your marketing materials, like Margaret just did, that they don't just include business cards and marketing, you know, promoting things. They also include things like packaging.
Yeah.
Which is fun.
It's true.
All right. Did you have some resources for that? I think there were a couple.
Sorry.
I used
Clearback. Uline is a great resource where you can buy boxes, number one. And they're very inexpensive, and they ship them, and they're great. Clearbags.com is great. They have plastic boxes that you can put a small painting, like a 12 by 12 or even smaller painting in, that are only like a half inch thick if they're on a canvas board, which works really well. There's you can get the easels at easelmoments.com, which are the metal easels that can – you can put a small painting in it and put it on a bookshelf or something. But there's so many places out there. And all these things I'm talking about cost a few dollars. I mean, they're not super expensive.
So much fun.
Wonderful. Yeah.
I know. I love it. I love the idea of opening it up and having it be sort of an experience for the buyer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, let's just talk for – I'll be quick on this one, but I did want to talk about photography. You can run the gamut on this one. I know artists who take every single painting that they've done, and they will bring it, you know, somewhere to have it professionally photographed, and that's great. But I also, for everyone that does that, I know five that use the latest version of their iPhone and, you know, put it on a, maybe a little tripod and have terrific looking photographs that way. Whatever. Mm-hmm. What you need to know is that a place like Moo, again, M-O-O, they have resources. You can ask for help. And they have an in-house photographer, and there's some great tips that tells you how to freshen up your photography right online. In terms of lighting, you want your artwork always to look clean and fresh. And lighting is pretty essential. You need to make sure your final result is going to make that piece of art pop and look the way you want it to be looked. And importantly, I think you want it to portray what you want your brand to say. You know, there's nothing worse than like a really dark image, or one that sometimes I see people that, I don't know, the lighting is so bad that it catches all the glare on a canvas. You know, you've got to really work on this. Take the time. Again, I've seen great results using iPhones, but, you know, take the time to maybe shoot in natural light. If you're using studio light, you know, maybe mm-hmm. shoot with like a gray background. Play around with this until you're really doing as sort of professional a job as you want to. Don't overlook the importance of photographing it. And honestly, color matching. Always look to be sure that the image you've taken reflects the true color of the piece of artwork you're shooting.
So true.
You know, you can really make your style shine. Displaying your artwork consistently kind of helps that. Think about your brand colors and logos, the layouts, the text colors. I know that a lot of times, Leslie, don't you use grids on photo websites? They'll let you sort of enlarge one area. I mean, there's a lot you can do so that if somebody's looking at your image, they can really get up close and look at a portfolio of your work and get a lot of information from that. You need to think about sharing your work. Now, keywords, and this sounds so techy, metadata. I can say metadata till the cows come home. I'm not always sure I know what it means, except that it's important for search results. If you use a website builder, or maybe you have a blog and you're using WordPress, you can cram as many search terms in as you possibly can dream of. And the advice is, don't be shy. It all helps to get your work found online. You can also add, you know, metadata, these little word tags, in several software packages, and that will ensure that you can protect your artwork. If you want to watermark it, and, you know, you've seen that where someone has an image online, and when you make it larger, it will say, I don't know, you know, photo image in sort of a, it's a way that no one can copy your artwork and print it without that appearing. You can do it, but try to be creative. Don't just stick your name across the middle of an image. And for what it's worth, I just want to say, if someone really wants to copy your artwork, there are many programs out there that will allow them to lift those watermarks. My advice is, don't get too crazy about it. I don't know. How do you feel about
agree.
That, Leslie?
I totally agree.
We've all been around that. Yeah.
Yeah. And okay, so I made a big, I used to brag about how all the pictures I took for my 100-year-old home blog and Instagram were all on my iPhone. But I kind of thought, you know what, I think I need a 35mm camera. So my husband was kind enough to buy me one for Christmas. Totally
mm-hmm.
changed my life. Totally changed my life.
But
I have an
you
iPhone
have to
10.
Carry it around with you.
I have an iPhone 10. And
yeah.
Yes, it takes great pictures, but there's no comparison, just saying. And
really?
I've had a lot of magazines reach out and say, oh, we love this photo. We want to do a story about you. Can you send us high res? And the ones you get on your iPhone aren't high enough resolution, but the ones I take on my camera sure are. So I just wanted to put that bug out there. You do not need to go out and buy a new camera, but down the road, it may be something you want to think about. And I have, I'm going to tell you what I have because it is the Canon EOS 6D, and it takes about 1 minute to download electron or wirelessly 50 pictures to my phone.
Wow.
Yeah, it's super cool.
That's
amazing. Okay, another thing, and we're going to wrap this up, but another thing you can do is have a tagline for your brand. Not that you want to be the painter of light, like Thomas Kincaid, but the minute I said that, you knew exactly. I mean, just think about Just Do It with Nike and the real thing, which used to be Coca-Cola a long time ago. I'm dating myself. But the point is, if you want to have brand awareness, you can do it visually with a logo, but you can also do it through having a tagline or a phrase that describes you. And the more you use it, the better you are, because what happens is you're training people to say what your brand is.
That's right.
Yeah. So how cool is that? I mean, one of the best brands I love is Magnolia. Think about Chip and Joanna Gaines and everything that they're doing now that they have a network that they're launching next year. But
No kidding.
When the first time I went to Magnolia Silos, it blew me away. I'll never forget walking up, and there was a gal, it was a really hot day, and there was a gal right there selling a bottle of water. And they had this chalkboard with this really cool calligraphy that said water bottle, $1. And I said, can you tell me what font that is? And she goes, you know what? I'm going to have to contact our branding department, but I'd be happy to find out for you. I'm like thinking, oh my God, they have a branding department. Okay, so none of us are going to have a branding department.
No, ma'am.
Someday, we can wish. But that just shows you how focused that brand, that company is about what their brand is. So if you can come up with a tagline, you're going to help train people what your brand is, just so you know.
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to wrap the wrap by saying there's one thing everyone should be doing, which is you can promote your brand every time you send an email. If you have maybe a descriptive phrase like the painter of light or whatever it is, you want in your automatic email signature, which, you know, you just go into your email and set it up so that it's at the bottom of everything you write, go ahead and put something about your art there. Don't forget to include it. I can't tell you, when my daughters were getting married, I would have, you know, vendors, the event planner come up to me and say, oh, your paintings are beautiful. And I thought, how does she know I paint? And she said, oh, well, I saw you had your web address under your signature in the email. And I thought, oh, gosh.
It worked.
Over and over. People see it and they click on it. And just think about that. Put your brand on everything you create. Leslie, you were the one that showed me how you can have a custom image put on your iPhone case. Mm-hmm. If you have a phone, why not have something about your art on it? I mean, I think just take every opportunity you can to put that consistent branding message out there in the world.
And I had
ideally,
a sticker.
You know,
I had a sticker on the back of my Apple laptop, you know, that you could put on it that – and it said Leslie Sata Fine Art. It was one of my paintings. And I was taking a class at the Apple store, and this guy sitting across from me said, you know, I really like your art. I'd love to go to your website. What is it? I'm like, how do you know I'm an artist? He goes, I've been staring at the back of your laptop all day. And how funny is that?
That's great. That is exactly what you want. Let people go and look at your art. Yeah. All right. Well, excellent topic, Leslie.
Wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. It's great.
And for everyone who reached out and wondered, you know, if we were taking a little break, I'm very happy that we're back. And honestly, I love when people reach out. So keep doing it. Make this happen.
Yep. Welcome back, Margaret.
All
and thanks so much. Take care.
Well, thank you. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.